is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way. Here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco. 15 feet, 4 inches. Sarah Cup. President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Glad to have you on board. Another edition of Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. Good show lined up for you tonight. Baseball action as we speak, by the way, just for a quick update. The Boston Red Sox have hit a in-the-park home run at the bottom of the ninth inning at Fenway Park. In Boston, they trail the Houston Astros by a score of 5-4. Both Justin Verlander and Chris Sale have pitched in that game. Of course, if Houston gets two more outs and hold on to win this, they will advance to take on the winner of the Cleveland-New York Yankees series, which resumes tonight, and we'll be talking about that with David Glazier, News Herald out of Cleveland, at 5:15 tonight. As always, welcome to Drive Time. It's driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. All the guests on this show, courtesy of the Vito's Pizza phone line. Again, if you're just getting into your vehicle, Houston leads the Boston Red Sox 5-4. Nobody on, one out in the ninth. It was 5-3 moments ago in the park, home run for the Boston Red Sox. Again, glad to have you on board. Man, what a weekend of sports. I mean, really, just football upsets. How about Matt Campbell, the former University of Toledo head football coach that took the job at Iowa State? They knock off number 3, Oklahoma, by a score of 38-31. Hats off to Iowa State. Hats off to Matt Campbell. How about up at the Big House in Ann Arbor, primetime game at night? Michigan State wins the game 14-10. Jim Harbaugh now against Ohio State and against Michigan State, 1-4. And can you imagine the Buckeyes, who won big over Maryland this past weekend, 62-14, if the Buckeyes should win that game, Jim Harbaugh would drop to 1-5 against his two biggest rivals, Michigan State and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Listen, Jim Harbaugh's not going anywhere. We understand that. There's been a resurgence in the program, but he's a guy that makes $9 million a year. Coaches that are paid $9 million a year are paid to win national championships. He's yet to win a division, and as I mentioned, 1-4 against Ohio State and Michigan State University. Certainly give the Michigan State Spartans credit in that one, 14-10, the final. Lions lose 27-24 over the weekend to the Carolina Panthers. Offensive line, just an absolute disaster at this point. They gave up 6 sacks Sunday, 6 sacks the previous Sunday. The O-line not good. Offense not moving. Worse than that, Matt Stafford, injured hand and injured ankle. So we'll keep an eye on that. Of course, the Lions are very, very tight-lipped about his situation. National Football League official injury report comes up on Wednesday. I mentioned the Buckeyes win 62-14. Bowling Green finally gets a win. The Falcons 37-29 over Miami. The Browns drop to 0-5. Toledo native Deshaun Kizer, he was pulled from that game. They got beat by the Jets, who thought maybe were the only team in the National Football League that had less talent than the Cleveland Browns. But the Jets win it 17-14. Another upset, I thought, over the weekend. Jacksonville beats the Pittsburgh Steelers 30-9. Good game yesterday afternoon. Green Bay beat Dallas 35-31. Other notes, top 25, Oklahoma, after that loss to Iowa State, they dropped from number 3 to number 12. Michigan goes from number 7 to 17. Michigan State now in the top 25. They are at number 21. So that's the weekend wrap. Baseball, of course, again, right now in the ninth inning, Houston leading the Boston Red Sox by a score of 5-4. The winner, if Houston wins this game, well, two outs now in the ninth inning. If Houston wins it, Pedroia's at bat for Boston. They will take on the winner of the Cleveland Indians. Cleveland Indians, of course, playing tonight against the New York Yankees. Trevor Bauer will get the start for Cleveland, Severino for the Yankees tonight. So it should be what a pitching duel that was last night. Absolutely phenomenal. Great stuff. Yankees win it by a score of 1-0. 6'7" right fielder Aaron Judd makes a great catch in that game. Just again, a good ball game for folks that like 1-0 games. I thought it was a great game to watch. A lot of strategy, a lot of great things. All right, we're going to talk some Cleveland Indians baseball. David Glazier covers the Indians. News Herald in Cleveland. Back with that after this.
The host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. As always, this show driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Carfax Fox sale continues here at the Superstore. Come on in, check out the huge selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. They'll show you the Carfax right here at the Monroe Superstore. This show driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. It is a final. Houston beats Boston by a score of 5-4. The Houston Astros, again, Houston today, Justin Verlander pitched, Chris Sale pitched for the Boston Red Sox. Houston wins it 5-4. They will play the winner of the New York Yankees and the Cleveland Indians series, which continues tonight. Joining us now, News Herald in Cleveland, David Glazier. Hello, David. How are you?
Well, it's a busy day up here. Busy day.
No,
good day.
Busy day. I am in a good day. No question about it. Indians go tonight. They're in the Bronx. If they play, I know weather's a real factor with this front that we had over the weekend moving to New York, plus hurricane weather moving up the coast as well. So we'll keep a close eye on that. Tell me about your thoughts on the series. Then I want to get your thoughts on the pitchers tonight. Bauer against Severino. Boy, Bauer's been absolutely phenomenal. Who would have thought that Kluber, and he'll be ready for a game five, I think. I've heard mixed reviews and that. I can't believe them throwing anybody else out there in a deciding game. But Bauer's been outstanding. Classic series, classic game last night. A lot of runs scored in the opening salvos between these two clubs, but a classic 1-0 ball game last night.
Well, it's been 4-0, 9-8, and 1-0. So you've had three different kinds of games. The one, you know, commonality has been, you know, Trevor Bauer. I mean, he was great in game one. He justified Terry Francona's, I don't want to say controversial, but much discussed decision to make him the number one starter. So Kluber 5, and people said, wow, you know, here's a guy who talks about we just win one game at a time. It's all we care about. And you've got your presumptive Cy Young Award winner, and you're not going to use him in game one of a best of five. Never head scratched, but it turned out to be a good move. But yeah, I think all four, pardon me, all three games have been great games. I don't have any reason to think tonight gets played won't be a fantastic game. It's not raining in New York now, but the wind is blowing at 25 miles an hour. So we'll see.
I guess
as long as it's not, as long as it's not blowing out towards right field.
That's exactly where I was going with
right.
You, David. That's why
right.
I jumped in there. Which way is it blowing? If it's going out to right, you might see a lot of things happen in the Bronx tonight. David Glazier joins us, News Herald. This is Drive Time, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. No secret, the Indians have won 35 of their last 39, hottest team in baseball down the stretch. Any updates today on Encarnacion and what have you?
Yeah,
heard?
I think he's going to play. I've heard that he's going to DH tonight. I haven't checked online. The lineup should be up now. I think the thought was if he could swing, they wanted him in there. And you know, it's not like they hurt when he goes down, because then Michael Brantley comes in, and you know, Brantley's had a couple of tough games, but he's a great hitter. And Indians are in good shape. I picked it. I said Cleveland in four. I didn't know which one New York would win. Didn't win a game, and they almost did. They didn't come close the first night. Cleveland really, and Bauer in the bullpen shut them down. But the last two games have been highly entertaining, but too long. I mean, it's textbook illustrations. You know, 5 hours and 9 minutes on one night, albeit exciting 5 hours and 9 minutes. And then, you know, 3:10, 3:15, and that, it's a lot of baseball, and you're asking a lot of fans with limited attention spans to devote that much time to baseball.
You know what? You make an excellent point. I'm to the point and stage in my life. If I'm awake at 10 o'clock at night, it's almost a major miracle.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, I'll go upstairs and settle in, and I'll move from the living quarters in my house up to the bedroom and have the remote on, and I'll watch about an inning and a half, and you know, all of a sudden wake up, and you know, it's like in the old days, you got a test pattern out there. Not really. I have to grab my phone and say who in the heck won the game. Now, I did stay tuned in for the game last night. Hey, off the top of your head, with Houston winning, and we're not assuming the Cleveland Indians are going to advance, but
no, I'm not assuming that.
Houston and Cleveland in the regular season. Tell me about that. Anything that, if they should get together, anything that would stick out about that series?
Yeah, 4-2 Indians. So, the Indians match up against Houston. If you believe, as I do, that most years the two best teams in the 94 and, or pardon me, in the 95 and beyond expansion wildcard era, most years the distillation process gets the two best teams onto the championship series. There's been some years when the heavy proved not to be the better team. But I think it, since about September 1st, everything is pointed towards Houston and Cleveland. You know, Cleveland erased a 15-game deficit to Houston in the last month of the season to pass them for best record in the American League. And that means a lot. Minute Maid Park is a great home field, ditto for Progressive Field. You know what, though? It's not my job to put the cart in front of the horse, so I'll speculate about a Cleveland-Houston World Series, but I'm sure the Indians are focused only tonight on Severino, Luis, pitcher, but a guy they've handled this year. They've handled him.
You know, I'm going to take a look at this lineup tonight. Let's see if, they don't have the lineup in as of yet. We'll be checking on that. Again, the Yankees tonight and the Cleveland Indians from the Bronx in New York, which is always a wild place to play, regardless who the opposition is.
It'll be it was last tonight. Night, man. It was loud.
It was an absolute treat to watch a baseball atmosphere like that. Hey, switching gears here a little bit.
Sure.
Of course, we're keeping an eye on our Toledo guy, DeShone Kizer. He was pulled from the game. Browns
wrap
a 17-14 decision to the New York Jets. Him being pulled has been talked about a little bit. What's your take on that? You don't want a guy to start going south too quick here, but the Browns have dropped to 0-5. And are you protecting the psyche of a young quarterback, or was he pulled because nothing was getting done?
I thought he had a bad first half. I thought showed flashed a leadership issue when he fobbed off the blame for the fumble onto Isaiah Crowell. Even if it is Crowell's fault, the quarterback shouldn't publicly air out the running back, which he did. And that's going to create a problem for Crowell and Kizer, because Crowell's the kind of guy that doesn't like that. So I don't have a problem with what Hugh Jackson did at halftime. It doesn't reflect that well on Hugh, after saying the week before when Cleveland got beat by four touchdowns that Kizer played his words, not mine, lights out. I mean, Hugh Jackson has a credibility problem. It's a credibility problem of his own making. He overpromised last year on Cody Kessler using the famous phrase, trust me on this one. All right, well, 1 year later, Cody Kessler only makes the team because they were able to trade Brock Osweiler. I mean, you know, so with Hugh Jackson now, let's see now, he was 1-15 last year. He's 1-20 as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns and probably on a short tether right now given this owner's track record. This is a big decision he's going to make tomorrow, you know, whether he's going to start Hogan or start Kizer. I'm going to guess he's going to start Kizer with the addendum that if we have issues in performance, again, I won't hesitate to bring in Kevin.
What do you think's good? I mean, you mentioned Hugh Jackson. I mean, you answered the question that I was going to ask you, so you're ahead of me here a little bit. I mean, obviously, he's in the hottest of hot seats right now with ownership. They lose the game next Sunday. You think he's done?
No. No, I think bye week is, traditionally when coaches get fired. I don't have their schedule in front of me. I'm not sure what their bye week is. I think it's week 9. I think if they're 0-8, 0-9. this is a story, Michael. Is this just you and me, right? This has got to be the fourth head coach that we've been having this discussion about in the last 5 years, you and me. Third in the last 5 years. I mean, is it any wonder the organization is a shambles? Is it any wonder the team clearly overmatched? You know, you're watching Carson Wentz for the Philadelphia Eagles making an early case for himself as MVP this season, right? MVP. The Browns last year, in the person of their baseball guy turned football guy, analytics expert, Paul DePodesta, said he's not even a top 20 quarterback. He didn't even say player, he said quarterback. I mean, they were so wrong on Carson Wentz, so wrong on a number of players who've been drafted. They had Kareem Hunt right under their nose here from Willoughby, Ohio, and Toledo, and they missed on him. And the season's not over, but it's certainly looking like there's your rookie of the year.
Well, it does. You know what, Dave? But there's other teams that missed on Hunt. You knew about him. I knew about him. I did some travels in Canada last week, and I was in London, Ontario, and their play-by-play guy is a huge football fan and a huge Lions fan. And I was telling him about Kareem Hunt last year. And as soon as I walked in the building to do my broadcast last week, he said, "Man, you were right on about Kareem Hunt." And I got to tell you, I don't profess myself to be an evaluator of talent in anything, but you could almost see this coming with this guy. And you're right, Willoughby, Ohio. Not only from a playing standpoint, what a PR home run that would have been. Hey, anything on Trevor Bauer besides all the great things that he did in game one? And, you know, I mean, I just love his demeanor. I love the way he mixes speeds and pitches. Anything else you can add?
Well, if he's as good as he was in game one, chances are the series and the lesson you learn from watching playoff baseball is that when you think you figured it out, when you think you've got the dead knock scenario, when you think you can't miss on your call, you know nothing and you miss. So I just think it'll be a fabulous game. I think Severino will pitch okay, but I think the Indians will get to him, as is due for a big night. And if Jose and Lindor at the top of the lineup are both on base, the Indians are going to score and win. One thing that Masahiro Tanaka did last night was he got the Indians chasing that split. All of them, left-handers, right-handers, got ahead in the count, and he pretty much owned the agenda last night, remounted anything serious beyond the one-out triple by Kipnis, and he died at third. They need to be a little more aggressive tonight offensively, and I'm not saying they weren't aggressive last night. Let's use a better word. They need to be more successful tonight offensively.
Hey, what'd you make of the caravan over to Maumee Bay?
I don't know. What do you think?
Can't play. I'm on the IR, but I thought you'd round up three of your closest and come over and I can.
Oh no!
That's a little bit.
So. That's October 18th. We just finalized that today via our text message loop. So there's a lot of moving parts when there's four people involved. We're going to take Toledo by storm.
No, I don't have any doubts that won't happen. Very good. Thanks for coming on, David. Appreciate it, and we'll talk somewhere down the road.
You bet, Michael.
Okay, David Glazier, News Herald, covers the Indians, likes the Indians' chances a lot tonight. I mean, it goes without saying, if Trevor Bauer was as good as he was in game one, I mean, what a performance that was. We know one thing, the winner of the Yankees and the Cleveland Indians series, they will be playing the Houston Astros, who beat the Boston Red Sox 5-4, ended about 20 minutes ago. And, again, that series ends 3-1 for Houston, Yankees, and Indians tonight. What is that, Jim? Is that a 7 o'clock first pitch? I believe it is. Box score is not up yet. Lineups, I might touch on that. But after the TASS update, coming up right around the corner, again, as always, we're going to talk Michigan football with Angelique Shengelis. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment Gang, Ralph Mahalik.
Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Again, I'd like to thank David Glazier, News Herald out of Cleveland. Indians tonight taking on the Yankees. Of course, the Indians lead that series 2-1. And Encarnacion not in the lineup tonight for the Cleveland Indians. Another update here. Top of the fifth, Washington and the Cubs, they are scoreless. That series is tied 1-1 on the mound for Washington, former Detroit Tiger Max Scherzer. So, again, glad to have you on board, everybody. Baseball talk in the first 15, 20 minutes. And becoming a bit of a regular here because we're trying to get her a lot of books sold. And we received a couple of copies from the publisher the other day. The name of the book is Michigan Man, Jim Harbaugh, The Rebirth of Wolverines Football. The only thing is the Wolverines not cooperating right now, Angelique Shengelis, with book sales after a stunning 14-10 loss over the weekend to the Michigan State Spartans. Michigan was a 10.5-point favorite that game. Number one, hello, how are you? Number two, thank you very much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Well, what did you take out of Saturday night's game? Tell me a little bit about it. And listen, it's a great rivalry. Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines, the number that's being tossed around almost everywhere today, Angelique, is Jim Harbaugh 1-4 against both the Michigan State Spartans and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Coach that makes $9 million a year. You're supposed to be winning national titles, not going 1-4 against your biggest rivals, the Buckeyes and the Spartans.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he addressed that today, Mike. I mean, he said, it is what the record is. And he said, I'm well aware of what the record is. And he rattled it off just as you just did and threw in that their record against the other opponents are 23-3. And he said, we know what the records are. He goes, we want to win those games. We want to win every game. And you know what? Frankly, the 23-3 record, he probably should have left that out. I mean, the most important record for Michigan and for Michigan fans is the 1-4. And, you know, that Michigan State game, it was, first of all, the monsoon in the second half was just unbelievable. And yes, I'm saying that from a dry, comfortable press box, but, you know, you could see the curtains of rain and you would have thought that would have, you know, kind of pulled the curtain over throwing the ball and it didn't. And so play calling has been a big issue and questioning that a bit since Saturday, you know, in light of the fact that John O'Korn making his first start at quarterback threw three interceptions in the second half. It's pretty ridiculous.
No, it is. And, you know, the other side of this, too, I mean, pretty similar to what the Lions are going through right now as well, Angelique, is, you know, Matthew Stafford's gone down 12 times in the last two games. University of Michigan. They've allowed 16 sacks. We can talk quarterbacks all day. And you're right, yeah. There are three picks out there. I caught the second half of that game traveling, believe it or not, on a team bus through Canada. And as soon as we got the reception, you know, for crying out loud, I used the term that you just used, a monsoon. But again, let's face facts here. Both teams played in it.
Right.
What's going on with the offensive line here? And tell me about that a little bit, especially when a new guy comes in like O'Korn. You like to get a little rhythm, understand the weather. Tough to get rhythm in a game like that. But, you know, let's give the quarterback some time to throw the ball a little bit and find somebody open.
Yeah, and I thought in that opening drive, I really thought, oh, wow, they found a game plan for him. And they moved the ball well, and then until they got to the red zone again. I mean, that was a big issue for through the first three games, one touchdown and 10 red zone trips. And, you know, I think that goes to the play calling. I mean, you're not putting your quarterbacks in the best position to score touchdowns in those positions. But you're right, this offensive line, and I've been saying it all season. I said it before the season. That would be the biggest question mark, not the defense with one returning starter, but this offensive line. And now Michigan is 118th nationally in sacks allowed, and they're 115th in tackles for loss allowed. I mean, these are not good numbers. I don't think I have to point that out, especially when you're looking at a defense that's, you know, number one. And it's really, I think they're frustrated with that right side. As everyone expected would be the case, they've tried in the Purdue game. Harbaugh called it platooning with Michael Owenu, the starter, and then John Runyon Jr. is backing him up. And, Runyon got in for two long plays, touchdown plays in that game, and Owenu was on the field for the last one. He started and played last week, but then it's the right tackle, Nolan Elizio. He gave up a sack. He gets pulled. They put in Juwan Bushabedi, who made one start last year at left tackle, when the Grant Newsom went down, and he gave up a sack. So he finished out the game, but, I mean, I don't think that's the answer. Either one's the answer. And I'm wondering, Mike, if they put John Runyon back at right tackle. He practiced there all spring, and I think they like him at guard, but I think they need to try something else because it's just not working on that right side.
No, I agree. You know, that's always, you know, listen, believe me, now's the time to try that. Again, Angelique Shingelis joins us. Of course, we're home of the Michigan Wolverines on 98.3 Nash Icon. We're home of the Buckeyes right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. You know, it might be good timing to start working on some things. With my coffee early this morning, I wanted to re-educate myself on the rest of Michigan's schedule here. Three top 10 teams in Penn State, Wisconsin, and Ohio State right around the corner. Indiana, of course, coming up on Saturday. So if you're going to make some changes, especially with that offensive line, this might be the week.
This might be the week. And, you know, it is. I heard from a lot of former Michigan offensive linemen, Mike, in the last 2 days. As you can imagine, you know, they take it personally, even though they have not been playing for many years. They still watch these games and take the offensive line play very personally, and it's very upsetting to them. They're seeing technical stuff that just wouldn't fly when they were playing. And, you know, it's not one of those, oh, back in the day thing. It's just, that's how you play offensive line, and they're not seeing it. And I think this is the time to try something, but it's also indicative. I mean, you don't want to change your offensive line week to week, and they have made a couple changes now in these last two games, and that's certainly not ideal to not have a set five, but they keep saying they're still looking for the best five, and that's not an ideal situation, but they've got a few options, just not a lot. And I think that goes to, you got to start questioning the depth, and are they identifying the right guys to come in and make an impact? And certainly it's harder to come in as a freshman and be impactful on the offensive line, but they've got to do some examining of the recruiting at this stage for that position group.
Again, Angelique Shingelis joins us. Name of the book is Michigan Man, Jim Harbaugh, The Rebirth of Wolverine Football. We're selling the book. Angelique wrote a great book. We're trying to get the Wolverines on the same page here to get the thing moving a little bit. Anything that I missed here, Angelique, moving forward against Indiana on Saturday?
I don't think so, Mike. I mean, I think that one thing I noticed, they talk about how Mark D'Antonio, how he's got such a record against Michigan. I mean, he gets his team ready. He gets them focused on this is their rival. This is a game. And I didn't pick up on that the last 2 weeks at Michigan. It you know, they kept saying it's the next game. It's, yeah, it's important, but it's the next game. And you know what? When you haven't won very much against a rival like that in state, you got to make it a focal point. And maybe even if it's just talking out loud, you've got to make it a focal point. It just didn't feel like it, and it felt like the energy wasn't there, and that's surprising to me in that kind of rivalry game.
No, we'll be watching. Thanks for coming on, Angelique, especially in a day where Jim Harbaugh addressed the media in Ann Arbor. Thanks for sharing that with us. And somewhere down the road, we'll touch base again. Thanks a lot.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Mike.
That's Angelique Shingelis, Detroit News beat writer covering the University of Michigan. Jim Harbaugh's first 22 games, 19-3. His last 10, 6-4. And of course, the big number everybody's talking about, 1-4 against Michigan State and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Listen, $9 million a year, as I mentioned. Those are salary figures that coaches are paid to win national titles. Not finish third in the division and not being 1-4 against your closest rivals. All right, everybody. My name is Mike Miller. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Buckeyes, home of the Detroit Lions. Tough loss. Did not play well. Cam Newton, very good yesterday, of course, for the Carolina Panthers. That was a 27-24 loss. Speaking of offensive line, Matthew Stafford basically under siege. Hurt hand, bad ankle. Wow. Offensive line in Ann Arbor, an issue. Offensive line about 30 miles to the east, an issue. Again, this is Drive Time. Back to close it out after this timeout.